The Kanawha Charleston Health Department and the University of Charleston teamed up to conduct the phone survey over the course of 5 days in early April, almost 90 days after the spill occurred. Before results were even discussed, two prominent community members stood to say a few words. The first, Charleston Mayor Danny Jones.
I don't speak for anybody but myself, but my life changed January 9th. I know that we have a perception problem, and I know that there's going to be some really valuable information shared with us.
Jones followed by Brenda Isaacs, president of the County Board of Health.
Suddenly, in that one evening, our perception of what comes out of our taps was forever changed.
Notice a pattern? Perception is exactly what Dr. David Lateef with the University of Charleston School of Pharmacy says the survey was about, narrowing down how the public felt about four factors: the physical, economic, and psychosocial impacts, and the quality of communication. Participants were chosen at random from a database of Kanawha County residents' phone numbers, 4,000 of which were landlines, another 2,000 were cell phones. Factoring in things like ineligibility and refusal to participate, there were 499 respondents at a response rate of almost 60%, a number Lateef says is usually closer to 25 or 30% in most surveys. Both Lateef and Dr. Raul Gupta, executive director of the county health department, stress their results are only preliminary. Analysis took place over about a month's time, and a lack of funding is preventing them from delving deeper into their results. But just the same, the two were prepared to present some findings. Some of the most interesting? Of those surveyed, 55% found out about the Do Not Use ban on tap water from local television and radio, just 5% from social media. While the order was in place, some 23% said they continued to use the water, a majority of which was to bathe or wash hands, but about 37% of that amount said they were still drinking it. About 31% of respondents reported a member of their household experienced some kind of illness they believed to be related to the contaminated water. But only 1 in 4 reported seeking medical treatment for the illness. Even then, a large majority sought treatment through outpatient services, like their primary care physician or urgent care centers. A majority of respondents also reported increased feelings of worry, stress, anger and depression during the Do Not Use ban, and about half of those surveyed still believe the water is not safe to drink. When it comes to trustworthiness, local governments fared the best, with 25% of respondents giving them an A rating. 18% gave local officials a failing grade, which was by far the smallest amount of Fs. The prize for least trustworthy went to West Virginia American Water, with 31% of respondents handing the company an F grading. But there are some limitations to the survey itself. For instance, 43% of participants, almost half of the total number, were over the age of 65. Remember that number of only 5% who said they found out through social media? The 65-plus group is the least likely to participate in social media programs like Facebook and Twitter. So what if the age distribution had been different? Would those numbers have changed? Gupta says that's one question in a whole list of those he wishes he could answer. But this study is supposed to be seen as a base for future research to be conducted, research the health department doesn't have the money to conduct.
The reality of the situation is we continue to apply for grants, and we've gotten turned down, for example, twice from the National Science Foundation. And so I would love to say, yeah, there's millions of dollars coming this way and everybody's working to get those. But unfortunately, we haven't found those millions of dollars. We're doing the best we can with what we have, local resources.
Even without the funding to further analyze, Gupta says there are still lessons to be learned.
If we take away from here it was just trust factor or a communication factor, I think it'd be a mistake. We're not the best at responding to these kind of things, not as a community, not as a state, not perhaps as a nation. What do we need to do to get better at this? Anthrax, 9/11, we weren't prepared, and there was a lot of problems. CDC was not prepared. Local health departments and state health departments were not prepared. In the last 13 years since then, or 12 and a half or so, a lot has been accomplished because we found a deficiency. And I think this is sort of a, as I said, it's sort of a red herring to tell the nation we're not prepared.
Gupta says there are a few minor studies being conducted on the spill, but he hopes to see that increase so we can learn all we can from the incident. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.